happened.
Before, yeah, can I see some?
Yes.
You know, I've hunted all over the continent for revival for years. I've been to more revival cities than most people. Being great along, I've been blessed by God, I've seen things happen.
Hallelujah.
Just don't have like this, what you're seeing up there. People getting delivered, just supernatural to people walking up in front of the church while I was preaching and following where you're healed. Or they hand out their actual thing, God, just, that's just something that God has done.
Can you speak a little louder, Denny? Please, louder.
Excuse me?
Please, louder, so it gets on here.
Maybe hold the mic.
Yeah, I do have cordless mics, I'm probably.
Hello.
Thank you.
There's, there's so much that has happened since I came back here. Some of it was good, some of it was bad, some of it was God's idea, some of it was my own idea that I tried to make happen. Because I had this drive inside of me to do what God called me to do. I figured that if God sent me back here to start a revival, then start a revival is what I wanted to do.
Amen.
But God is always more interested, I believe, in doing his work in us individually to get us ready to do stuff through us, do this thing through us. And I was thinking as we were singing this song this morning, there's Honey in the Rock, there's Water in the Stone, there's Manna on the Ground. And I was thinking, well, Lord, that's a very nice concept. Where is this honey in the rock? And where is this water in the stone? And where is this man on the ground? It's a huge matter of trust to really trust God to do something. It takes a lot. It's a lot of work. And I confess to you that I've, in some ways, have just given up. You know, it's just, it has been so hard and so dry for so long that I find it harder and harder to get up in the morning and go sit in the presence of God and do much more of anything but complain. But Psalm 85 says it very simply. It says, starting at verse, where are we at here? 4. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive me again? Will your people, that your people may rejoice in you, Lord? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. You know, I'm really at a place where I'm just tired of all the rhetoric. And I'm tired of coming here every week, knowing that there's revival going on in this country and breaking out of this country, and knowing what God has told me and put in me and wants to do through me, and seemingly nothing ever changes. In all of this time, he's been waiting for me to change. it's hard to see sometimes your own lostness and your own inability to cope with things that should be relatively easy to cope with. Do I need a revival? Yeah, I need a revival. Man, I need a revival bad. I need it, but I need, you know, I've spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks just repenting. I'm just asking God to move. I've taken my prayer list and my declarations list and I put them in the top drawer. And I wrote out a very short list of prayers that I pray every morning, which have nothing to do with my want list or my do list or my honey-do list or whatever you would care to call it. I just want God to do something. Do it in me, do it through me. I want revival, and I want them started in me because I need it so desperately. That's that. Okay, your turn.
Well, that's what the Lord told me to pray for you, is to pray that you would be revived again and to pray that the anointing that you have will be refreshed.
Hallelujah.
And that He wants you to be in peace and trust in Him. And the words that are come out of your mouth that you have for a declaration, He's given you those words, but you have to trust for those words to come forward. And the Holy Spirit said that He wants to refresh you in such a way that when you are in His presence, that's all you care about.
Yeah.
Mary, I was just quietly sitting over there. I was quietly sitting over there and I thought that the Lord wants you to give me yourself laying on the ground and Him over you, face to face, finger to finger to, and Him breathing you into you, the breath of Ruach. Yeah. And He said, I want to knit my soul with yours. I don't think that's just for Him. I think that's for all of us. I think He wants to knit His soul with us.
That is the essence of your life.
And that's all I got. I don't have anything else.
Thank you.
When I was flagging, I flagged many times to that song. This was a little bit longer, but I saw the flag of His presence like covering you, like a wing. It was covering you. And when it covers you, it's like how we think of it being pushed in a rock and getting refreshed and everything. But what I saw was the Holy Spirit just swooping around you and over you and beside you and inside of you. And it was really powerful. And I knew that you were going to be prayed for, so that's what I wanted to do. And I obeyed the Holy Spirit. So.
You just must have loved on you.
Go ahead and play that, Vicki. Thank you.
Thank you. There really can't be too many surprises in the Almighty God, can it? I really believe the Lord wants to totally bless everybody that is here. And when I studied Mighty God, I was overwhelmed. In fact, instead of getting out of here at 5 o'clock, I was here until 8. And the Holy Spirit wanted us to understand the best that we could about how He is Mighty God. When I looked it up in the Strong's, remember Danny taught you about Strong's, it was, you know, like a, you can look up different things, find word orient. In the Strong's, it you can look up a word or it'll tell you, like if you looked up the word Mighty God, it would give you all the scriptural references or the majority of them that you could study. And the one for Mighty God is 1368 in the Strong's. And Mighty God is Gabor. He is our Gabor. When Joe talked about characteristics, there's no other but God. And He is mighty. And we often put Him in a box. And there were some scriptural references that I had marked here that I kind of want to say them to you. The first one is Psalm 68. And it says, let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. There's nothing like the presence of God. And sometimes when I kind of get in the state like how Danny did, it was like, hey, Lord, where are you? Or I get weary, or really, or, you know, what do you want me to do? Sometimes I just find that when I get in His presence, I go in my bedroom, and there's 3 or 4 chairs there, and that's where I meet the Lord. And I spend time with Him, and sometimes, and it took a lot of discipline for me, because I don't sometimes say nothing. Don't bring my requests before Him. I didn't do my decrees or my declares or anything like that. What I did was I just sat in His presence and I said, what do you want to say to me today? And He spoke. And He wanted everybody to know how powerful God is, but He wanted Denny to know for the journey that the Lord has you on for tomorrow. Because you need to have the Holy Spirit all over you, inside, around you, in your car. Because Satan knows exactly the journey that you're on and what's going to take place. And I really felt in my spirit, and I hate to say feel, but I felt in my spirit that you needed to be refreshed. You needed that power. You needed that from Him. Says, sing to the Lord, sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds by His name and rejoice before Him. And I love this. He is the Father of the fatherless. That is so powerful. There are so many people that do not have a father. He is a defender of the widows. Is God in His holy habitation? God sets the solidary, or how do we say it, in families. He brings out those who are bound in prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when You went out before Your people, when You marched through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. I think it's so powerful. Ooh. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance. When it was weary, your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. That's the host of angels. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfold, you will be like the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. And when the Almighty God scatters kings in it, it was white as snow, and Zalmon, or Zalmon, I don't know. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received all gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of those who still go on in trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan. That's where the giants were at. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your progression, O God, the progression of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players of the instruments followed after. That's part of the formation of the army of the Lord. The singers go forth, then the musicians. And I think what is so powerful of this, to understand this, is how much God was behind them, how much he is behind us, how he goes before the mighty army, which is the remnant. You are the remnant of God. And it's very important. The more you spend time in him, the more you understand how mighty he is. And I think what is also important is when you pronounce Gabor. I mean, does that do something to you, or is it just me? Gabor. Sounds kind of romantic, doesn't it? Well, you know, Jesus, that's what he wants. He wants us to realize that he is our Ishi, he is our husband, he is with us. And I think what is so powerful is that when you really study the Messianic Psalms, which is Psalms 45, the primary root in that whole thing is to realize that the strong prevail. And the strong prevail because of the mighty God is when he is a part of you and you know who you are. And it's used as a verb when you read Psalms, where did I put that? Psalms 45:3. It is a covenant. Now, I remember when I first came up here and came to a particular church, the Lord allowed me to talk about the blood covenant. He allowed me to talk about the covenant just in general, what that meant. You, if you are born again, you have a covenant promise with the Lord. He is with you. And sometimes when I get in distress or something's not going right or I don't see something the way I want it to happen, I'll say this to God. I'll say, God, I have a covenant promise from you. that you will be with me. Sometimes I put it out there. Our covenant is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was on the cross for you and me. And that's powerful, the blood covenant. I wish it could be said more, or explained more, how powerful the blood is. And you need to know that. And I've got all kinds of things down here, but I want you to understand how powerful mighty God is. And in Isaiah 9:6, I told you that any time that the word talks about the Godhead, you will see E-L, which is pronounced L, and it means mighty. And I like people to see that because it's a masculine noun, that God is masculine. And I went to, at the International House of Prayer in Traverse City, and they were calling the female to be the Holy Spirit, and it really upset me. I don't believe in that. I believe that God is the Father, and Jesus is really God, he's the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, and I'm really sorry, but they are he's. They are males. And it's very, very important, because a lot of people preach that the New Testament, that there's no gender in the New Testament. I have a hard time with that. And what is really important to understand is when he talks to us as being his sons and his daughters. Well, why would he take time to do that if there was no preference at all between male and female? There is a difference between a male and a female, period. There is. And God made him that way. And one of the titles for Lord is Yahweh. So is other titles, other names that are given to him. And I kind of wanted to do another scripture in Psalms. That's why I had Karen not do Psalms. I think it was 45:3. I kind of got my Bible all marked up here. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Your love righteousness hates wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And all your garments are scented with myrrh and aloe and cassia, out of the ivory palace by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. That's in the Song of Solomon, I think, chapter 6, verse 8. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your Lord. So worship him. I don't know about you. I thought that was a powerful, powerful verse to worship the king. Hallelujah. Let's see what else the Lord said. We receive our authority from God Himself. We only have no power and authority in ourselves. We receive it from Him. I wrote down here that God in His divine perfection gave us a house to live in. And that house is also a man named Yeshua, who was nailed to a cross, taking our insufficiencies, our acting in human reasoning versus being obedient to God. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but God's plan is so much greater. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'll go, really, Lord, do you want me to do that? You know, He has a plan that is so different than us. But God, when we do what we're supposed to do, He secures us because He's the head of creation. Joe and I say that all the time when we're together, but we've been together for a long time. And I said, you know, you just look out there and you see the stars and you see the moon, you see the planets and, you know, kind of all that. And how can you not believe in the creation? God. That is just so moving. There's nobody like Him. That's why I love flagging that song. He wants us to understand His authority. So in Isaiah 43:10-15, He says this: "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and you are my servants. I chose you that you may know and believe in me, that you may know me and believe, key words, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no mighty God form, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign gods among you. Therefore you are my witnesses." Now don't you think that's a privilege? To know that you, all of us sitting here, that we are witnesses for Him when the Lord's a part of us? Wow, what an honor that He would take us and allow us to be witnesses for Him and His kingdom. It says, "Indeed, before the day was, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I worked, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I am the mighty God. I am that I am." I don't know about you, that's exciting. Two Sundays ago, Denny was speaking on Isaiah 40, and my emphasis is on 21 and 26. And it is not God's nature to be limited or weak. And removing all imitations of power, we arrive at the omnipotence of God. Omnipotence is the way they say it. And we have access to that power to live effectively in an unholy world. I don't know about you, this world's getting really creepy to me. Every time we turn on TV, there was something so creepy, I couldn't even deal with it. It was just so evil. And then to look at the cartoons, oh my gosh. I mean, I remember, like, you know, Yogi Bear and Flintstones. That's kind of weird, too. But, you know, I look at some of the stuff now, and it's so animated. You guys have no idea what is out there. You really don't. And my grandson had this, what did they call that thing, Joe, that white thing? I took a picture of you. It's just the virtual learning. They are now doing that. It is unbelievable. It's like you are in a world that is maybe like right now. And then you can buy programs so that you can be in other worlds. It could be you might be in the animal kingdom and you might be around the elephants or butterflies or whatever. But I'm trying to make a point here that they are introducing that into the public school, that instead of just being on the computers, the kids can be on that virtual online. And so you can put in whatever, however they do it. They do it from the computer, because I've seen even my grandson, who's only a fifth grader, be able to communicate with his buddy, who's maybe in another whole section of where they live at, and they do the project together or whatever they're doing together, and they communicate through these ear things. And now in the schools, so instead of saying, okay, we're going to have a geography lesson on, and I'll just use Israel because it's on my mind, on Israel, they can literally go to Israel in those virtual onlines and follow the prompts or do whatever they have to in Israel. It is amazing. Amazing
what's out there.
And if it's in the wrong hands, I can see how kids could be brainwashed. That's the best way I can say it. There has to be a control over it. Yeah. In Handel's Messiah, the famous Hallelujah chorus quotes the book of Revelation. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's Revelation 19:6. Omnipotent means able to do all things. God can do all things. God is all powerful. He is unlimited. He can do all that he wills to do. He simply speaks and it's accomplished. Even when a shaken faith, like it with the situation with Job, he confessed to God, and I quote this, I know you can do all things. No plan of yours can be hindered. God is in control of everything. Everything that I have up here on this table, there's a purpose in it. And the couple who came from downstate, who came up here when we had our dedication service to the church, she gave me that plaque someplace on there, and it says, you know, God has a plan. God has a plan. And that's what he's saying right here. Whatever his plan is for you, the enemy might try to hinder it, but God's plan is going to go forth. And this might blow some of you out of the water. Of course, my kids tell me not to say that word. But what I'm trying to say is this. God is in control of what's going on right now. Your job is to pray. That's why I always say on Friday, we're going to pray first. I don't care what goes on. Because prayer changes everything. That is getting in his presence. That's making our petitions to him. And when church no longer prays, I'm out of it. I'm done. Because I believe that prayer is so, so important. And I believe that you can petition the Lord. So the scriptures refer to him as Almighty God. That's why when I did this, I don't know what you call this, but when I put this on here and on the front of your bulletin, it was like the vastness of that. It's like you could just look on and on and on and try to understand who he is. You have to have enough faith that who he is, that he will take you through anything, just to worship him. And when I read in the scriptures a few minutes about extolling, I remember singing that when I was like in my 20s, 30s, I don't know. And I'd say, oh, extol you, Lord. I lift your name on high. You are worthy to be praised, oh, Lord. Oh, extol you, Lord. And I didn't even know what extol meant. That means to give him the highest praise. Highest praise. He deserves that. So this morning we were singing to extol him. And I read it in the scripture today. It's in the word. If it's not in the word, then throw it out. But to extol him, to exalt him, those are giving him the highest praise. And it's kind of like I always say up here, we're not up here to entertain you. We're to help you to get into worship. But the worship has to come from you to the King. He's worthy to be worshipped. It's an infinite power he has. it is not his nature to be limited or weak. We depend on God, and we should depend on nobody else. I had to learn that. I've always known the Lord, I've always trusted the Lord, but there were certain expectations that I wanted for Joe, and I had no right to put that on him. And the Holy Spirit showed me that. He loved the Lord. He could only do what he could do. And so I had to know that the only person that I could depend on was Mighty God, the Almighty God, to do what I felt needed to be accomplished. Amen? There is no cause or power prior to him. God has the all-sufficient ability to do whatever the task of being God requires. He can do whatever he wants. We could praise him here, and he can literally take this roof off, which I wish he would do. Literally. But everything runs from God, the source of all power. What else I put down here is that people try to corrupt that power. People try to do their own thing. But God is holy. He is so holy. When we sang this song, that this man received by an angel, it says holy three times. Just like the angels that sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's powerful. They do it all the time. We do it when it's convenient. But they do it all the time. I kind of wrote this down. I don't know if this is kind of worldly or what, but I love space and stuff like that. Joe and I both do. But in Star Trek, the chief engineer called Scotty of the Starship Enterprise frequently complains all the time to the captain. He says, "Captain, I cannot get no power." He's always saying that. Do you ever feel powerless? I have. The only person that can give us the power, the anointing, is him. You are never powerless. Even when all the demons of hell are all around you, you are not powerless. So whenever I hear that on Star Trek, I kind of chuckle because God is full of power. He can get us to do anything, and he can give us that power to accomplish anything. When I love it when he said, "Let there be light." I just can't, you know, I've heard so many things, I get all worked up, you know. We were listening to this one preacher and then the other guy that he knows, I don't like him. And so, you know, I kind of go through my human part of me, you know, but he was talking about the Neanderthals and the dinosaurs and all that stuff. And, you know, for me, it says in the word that God spoke light. Let there be light. Let there be light. That is so powerful to me, that God was not limited, he was not weak. The same thing for us. When he's really inside of us, you can do anything. And in Jesus' name, you can do anything. But if there's something that's hindering you from doing what God wants you to do, then repent. Give it to him. Let him take care of it all. And move forward. But we have that access to his power. And he promises that to all of his followers. It says in Acts 1:8, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I don't know about you. If you didn't feel anything from this service today, the Holy Spirit was pretty powerful. It's hard to stand. It's hard to... Yeah, to move, to think, to read. Most of the time, I don't even know why I have notes up here, because half the time I can't read the notes after I get under the anointing. I really can't. With the coming of the Spirit comes the power to overcome the world. Wow, we all knew how much power we had inside of us. But our problem is, we don't know what to do with it. And we don't have whatever it is inside of us to ask for it. But we need to ask. And one of the things that I wrote down here is God's might is available. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when Denny shared his personal situation, there comes that time that you feel weak or you're looking for an answer. I can quote that constantly. Philippians 4:13. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can't strengthen yourself. Spiritual growth is a process where God's Spirit permeates our lives. It empowers us. The Holy Spirit is no respecter of people. He doesn't respect me over Joe or Joe over me. You understand that? And so when a husband and wife get married, there's power because there's two of you, but you are only one flesh. You're one. So when someone comes and says something to Joe, it ain't going to do you any good, because we usually talk about it anyways, pray about it, because we're one. We need to be one with the Father. And God is able to keep us moving. He keeps us from failing. And that's Jude 24. In case you never read Jude, most people don't. We need to know that the Spirit is working in us, and we're supposed to be making progress. I wrote this down. I don't know if my grandson's listening or not. I doubt it. A baseball in my hand isn't worth much, because when I throw that baseball, it ain't really going as far as it should. But in my grandson Owen's hands, that baseball is worth a lot and goes a long ways. Mine, I might be able to throw it to the door. Oh, look at, I made it to the door. He can throw it, as an eighth grader, over 60 miles an hour. That's powerful. The baseball in his hand is more powerful in his hand than it would be in mine. But whose hands do we put ourselves in? When we're concerned because we can't pay our bills, we can't find a job, we don't know where we're going to live, we don't know what we're going to do, we have all kinds of struggles and we have all kinds of dreams, who do you give those problems to? Whose hands are you giving it to? You need to give it to God. Everything that you do, you got to give to God. Because you know what? He's capable of doing everything. When our life seems so out of control, the power of God is comforting. He gives us truth. The truth unlatches things that are bound in our lives. He can do such awesome stuff through all of us that are sitting here today, or might be listening online, I don't know. Powerful. Sometimes the world seems so chaotic that it really sometimes frightens me, because I go, oh my gosh, look at this, oh, look at that. I don't know if you do that, but I do that. And then I have a husband that I feel knows a lot of the political stuff and people in politics and kind of all that stuff. Forces of nature. Hey, I've been out on the lakes. I'm a great fisherman. That might surprise you, because I'm a city gal, but I love to fish. And I love to swim, but I've been on the water when the waves get so violent that it really has scared me pretty bad. Like, whoa, Joe, I think this pontoon is going up in the air. But you know what? We call out to him, trust in him, and he stops that raging wind. He stops the chaoticness that can come about just because, whether you like it or not, you're a visitor here. If you're born again, you have a home up there in heaven. But we are here holding down whatever the Lord wants us to do. But this ain't our home. I have to remind myself of that a lot lately. But the actions of people cannot frustrate God's purposes. I remember listening to Pastor John Hagee when he was in the pulpit more than he is now. And somebody walked through the door and shot at him. And the bullet went right past him. And he knew that God had done that. Right now, within the next 2 weeks, pastors are meeting to talk about what do you do when this happens in your church. I trust in God. I do things that I can do. And I trust in him for everything. We lock down our doors. We have a procedural thing that people know. I trust in him that when that evil presence comes, it has no power and no authority. And I've been tested many times. Do not limit the power of God. If you belong to him, he's going to take care of you. Don't fear. Don't have fear. And I heard so much that you wouldn't believe. I bet you I got 21 emails about this bank issue. I got it even on my internet. What do you think we should do? Trust in God. Get before him and ask him what you should do, what move you should make. Don't let fear overtake you, because fear is creeping in again on many people. Whose report do you believe? I believe in the report of the Lord. I say that all the time. I'm not saying it because I'm fearful. It seems that God's point was something like this. His name is Yahweh. It's a greater name than the name God Almighty. It reveals the full meaning. Even when he came before Abraham, he was Yahweh. So I understand what Joe is talking about, the characteristics of God. But you should know them. You should say them. Sometimes when I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, I would just pray every name that I know for God. I would pray every name for Jesus. I will pray every title, everything that I know about the Holy Spirit. But they are all three in one. They are all God. It is important to understand the characters, titles of God. It is important for you to understand when he says, when in the Old Testament, when they would come to him and say, well, what should we say? He says, I am that I am. How powerful that is. You do not have to defend God. There are so many people that, I don't know, they got this mentality thing that you have to defend the word, defend God. Let me tell you something, God's going to defend himself. You just speak it out. But today, I really wanted to focus, and hopefully I have, on the name God Almighty. The Hebrew behind the English word God Almighty is El Shaddai. But there is a great deal of disagreement among many scholars what Shaddai means. But it means Almighty God. He is our Almighty God. I've got tons of material here that I could go on, and I look up and I know it's getting late. But I want you to know something from this pulpit today, that God can do whatever he wants to do. Yep, he gives you a free will. And many people speak, well, you know, he gives you the free will and he won't come against your free will. We're supposed to take our free will and submit it to him. Yes, you have a free will, but you are to submit that will to him, that he knows better what you're supposed to have in your life. It's submitting you to him. I think that that is so powerful. He can do whatever he wants and whatever he pleases. I think that's kind of cute too. Truthfully, it determines what God will accomplish and what he won't accomplish. His power is superior. We put him in a box just like we do the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, in all the years that I have known the Holy Spirit, I am humbled how little I know. Truthfully, the more we submit to God, the more he can do things with us. And the other thing I want to say is, truthfully, when I talk about the stars and kind of all that, I'm not trying to take a new aging move. I'm just talking about he made them all. He made all the planets. He made all that stuff. You're not supposed to worship, but he made it all.
Should be an awe.
Yeah, you should be in awe with that. In fact, when we were looking at the new, the new satellite telescope, whatever, what was that? But anyways, we were watching that on TV, the different pictures that it was sending back. It was like, wow, Lord, really? We only see what we can kind of see. It's so great out there. It's just, oh, you should be in awe. And I wrote that down here. That he pours, you know, what he created was beyond. I have a beautiful video that talks about God's creation. Someone gave it to me. But he can do whatever he wants. I do want to say that. And I don't know about you, but I find less and less people ever want to give reference to God. Or some people say, oh, you know, he's God. You know, we know he's God. Really? I don't even think I know who God is, really. Understand him? I don't know if I do. It's so beyond this brain. Mighty God. And I don't know. When the Lord told me to speak on this, I thought, really? I don't think I can. But he is our refuge. I will say these three things here the Lord gave me. He said, we are supposed to have reverence for him, who he is. Number two, he told me that we were supposed to have recompense. I said, Lord, I don't even know what that word means. It says, recompense of wrath upon those who do not believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, really? Where does that say that in the Bible? It says 2 Thessalonians 1:8. We have to realize that that rider that is coming, Jesus Christ, that rider is called faithful and true, and his eyes are like flames of fire. So I always say to people that come to me and say, oh, you know, I have this vision from heaven and I got to see Jesus. So I say, well, what does his eyes look like? And they'll go, oh, well, they're blue or they're brown or they're green. And really? They're flames of fire. Then I know whether they're telling the truth or not. And he's our refuge. I can't explain that more than that. But he loves us so much that he is our refuge. But I want you to know, I want to give this too in conclusion. This is like a conclusion, right? Paul speaks of the immeasurable greatness of God's power in us who believe. I'm reading it. Paul speaks of, quote, the immeasurable greatness of God's power in us who are believers. If you will believe, nothing can limit you. His name, his blood. So, God means reference, recompense, refuge for his covenant people. And all that I want to say today is, he is mighty God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
He is mighty God.
You know what I'm saying?